Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And Hatheem Shabeet.
Hasheem Thabeet.
Hasheem Thabeet.
That's actually a great answer.
That's the guy. That's the least likely I want to have dinner with. He might go to the mall with you.
You actually came through there. That's a good answer.
Thank you.
I would go Chandler Parsons.
Mm. Oh, hey.
Right?
Yeah.
Number one might be a scene. You might have somebody come around
come
again like
you
did when he was
bash
here.
On him.
Somebody do a video and say, you suck. You know what I'm saying?
Not anymore, right?
And then it'd be all uncomfortable.
They might.
But Chandler would. Now listen. When in fairness, at Media Day when we saw him, we liked him.
Yeah, you got. Yeah,
like,
he liked you guys.
Like when you hang out with dudes, they say it's great. But come on, what are we gonna talk about?
Your show those FedEx appearances by you have changed my opinions on several players. You know, like Grayson Allen, for example. I didn't like him until he came on the show, and he was actually pretty likable on the show.
Yeah, you know who's offended like I was earlier when you talk about I can't hold a hotline like Aaron Rodgers.
Who?
That you picked Marc Gasol, Mike Miller.
Oh, Mike got pissed about that? Do you think he didn't like that answer?
Mike,
I don't think Mike gives a fine.
I think you're supposed. Aren't you obligated to say Mike Miller?
What are you talking about?
I think you're obligated to say Mike Miller.
Exactly. Especially pick him over. It's going to be a better time than it's going to have with Marc Gasol.
That's
disrespectful. Yeah, this dude's a big-time Mike.
Why do I need to say Mike? Why do I need to say that?
That's your friend.
Yeah. But
it's going to be a more lively dinner whether you're having wine at Fleming's or you eating chicken at Gus's. Going to be a better time Mike Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
You have relation with him, so you have to pick him.
Mike is a friend of mine, yes.
Yes. Okay.
So, I mean, but I've, you know.
Better answer, John, is the point of that. Would have been a better answer than Marc
Gasol. You're supposed to pick people that you, like, haven't done things like that.
Oh, right? I don't think that was in the, they didn't have a disclaimer like that.
I mean, come on, Z-Bo good.
Z-Bo be great.
Right? You think Z-Bo's going to hold a dinner conversation, bro? No.
I see now.
No.
Man, this is kind of one-sided here.
Ain't it?
A little bit.
Yeah. You uncomfortable having dinner with black dudes.
That's so wrong.
I mean, it's pretty damn obvious, John.
Again, it's about the conversation.
I mean, what is Ja really going to say?
Yeah, what's he going to say?
You know?
What's he going to say?
Tony Allen, I'm talking about dinner, not lunch, not a beer.
Bruh.
Like, I think we're starting to see it, bro. The only time you're comfortable around black folk is up from 11 to 2.
That's not even true.
That's so disrespectful.
That's just fake,
man,
news.
Can you give us one? That man said Z-Bo. Yes, this is dinner.
Here's one. Ready?
Can you give me one?
No. Sharif.
So we
Sharif.
Don't look.
Sharif.
Yes. Sharif Abdur-Rahim.
The biggest.
He wasn't a Memphis Grizzly, though.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, one of the first Grizzlies.
A Grizzly, he counts.
What a weird selection.
That is right. He's one of those early guys. Like, what's
you
the big? What's the guy
about,
from?
You know, the G League stuff and taking players that could be in college. Like, what are you going to do? Where's that going? You can't talk about
like
the times in Memphis.
He's
dude, that's like him, Brian
ridiculous.
Cardinal or somebody.
He's done intro. Well, I have to pick a black person.
Oh, okay.
Just so we balance this out a little bit, make you look a little better.
Sharif has actually done something since his playing days, man. Like, I want somebody that's like doing things out here in the world.
First, it was Jason can't have a real conversation
Shane Battier.
With a Marc Gasol.
Shane Battier be fun.
Ja Morant.
Shane Battier is a good answer.
Yeah, I like Shane Battier. I'd have lunch or dinner with Shane Battier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Bonzi be
any
fun.
Any other questions?
Bonzi would be fun because he's a walking technical. We saw him on the podcast with Penny Hardaway and Rashid. He's a good outgoing dude. I just need you guys to open up your horizons a little bit more, maybe reach across racial lines. So predictable. With you too.
Because we said Mark. I mean, Mark is an obvious answer.
Is the way you responded to every black dude I mentioned. Maybe there was some of that too.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
It just, that's a coincidence.
This man here.
That's just a coincidence, man. Because when I think dinner, I think, like, let's have philosophical conversations.
Dylan Brooks. He'd have his shades on in the corner. He'd have one of those private rooms at the folks.
I don't think you're going to get much out of him.
Yeah.
You will be beneath him.
Yeah, he's just kind of chill and cool, isn't he?
He's part of the big three.
Yeah. He doesn't
And you are not.
Yeah, you're way beneath him. You want somebody who you feel like you can talk to, but is
awesome.
Yes,
that's part of this deal, guys.
That's exactly right.
Who is awesome that you feel you can talk to?
Like, you know who I think would be a great person to have dinner with?
I hope he's black.
Damon Stoudamire.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah, we know that.
Damon's the best.
And I'm saying, though, that's a black person.
Thank you for the update.
Good job,
yeah,
John.
Well done.
Give him a ding there. He managed to get it done.
Good job, John. He is, in fact.
John, like, how about John Lure?
No.
I think a guy like that would be fun to have.
John Lure doesn't have anything to – he doesn't bring anything
Brian,
to the table.
How about Brian Cardinal?
He doesn't bring anything to the table.
You know, Beno Udre.
When I think dinner,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think dinner with a white dude.
That's not true, man.
Oh, it's very true.
That is not true. But I'm just saying, like, I think there is a different – when you're talking about having a dinner conversation, it is not just about basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got to be about family life and, you know, philosophy and just
what the hell are you philosophical about?
Existential conversations.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
This dude's like a wine.
How did you become like
about high level?
Everybody knows that
when
about me.
When did you become a sommelier?
Everybody knows that about me. Everybody knows that I am an absolutely elite conversation haver. It's just known in the streets, man. It just is.
Playing dice games over at White Station.
Interesting question, but I would roll with Kwame or Zeebo or somebody like that along those lines.
I put up a poll, and the poll is so far options, and I gave four options:
Kwame Brown,
Tony Allen, yeah, Ja Morant, or current question mark or Mark. And Tony is leading in quite a little landslide here.
Well, Tony is.
I said it was the obvious answer.
You can't say Lorenzen, by the way. He's deceased. Mario, I'm sorry. I don't think we can pick dead people.
Well, it's past or present.
Oh, is it? So you know, can pick dead people.
You can pick. You can certainly pick anybody.
All due respects to him. Then you can pick Lorenzen. Then,
I'm going to say him because I feel like I don't know him. Okay,
Nick Calathes.
No, I would not.
Don't do it. Another white dude,
Eddie Jones. I feel like Eddie Jones has some interesting things to say.
Sure, he would.
And we don't really talk enough about Eddie Jones. I liked Eddie Jones a lot.
He's a great Grizzly.
You know, was he a great Grizzly? I don't think he was a great Grizzly.
We put him, Posey, and Tayshaun sort of in the same.
What about Strohmeyer? He in there too, isn't he?
Appreciated role player type stuff. He's in there with those guys. Act like he's not. That's a group together.
I like Eddie Jones. I mess with Eddie Jones. Yeah. You know, so and I feel
Posey,
like
Posey, Eddie, Tayshaun, all kind of similar appreciated role.
You know, Eddie played with Kobe. Eddie played with Dwayne Wade there in Miami. You know, I mean, he's played with some great players. But like he would have some interesting stories for sure, and I feel like we hear a lot from Tony. You know, I don't know what story Tony's going to tell that we haven't already heard, right? So that's my thing with dinner with him. It's like, is it just going to be a rehashing of what we've already heard, Tony? That's a fair concern, man.
Brandon says Brevin Knight.
Again, Brevin Knight, we hear him on TV. I feel like we do dinner
too
with
exposed.
Brevin Knight. We hear from Brevin Knight at dinner every night, you know? That's the thing. I want to do dinner with somebody that we don't know the story of, that we haven't heard from.
Well, we knew the story
Eddie
of Marc
Gasol.
We knew all of Marc Gasol's story. That first guy y'all picked.
Oh, here's a good one. Birdman.
Oh, no.
No?
What do you mean, John?
I'm not into it. Not into it. Not really.
You don't want to hear about his tattoos? You're into tattoos.
Yeah,
I'm not even.
You got an extra one.
Not even close to what he's doing over there.
No, you're right. Darko?
There you go.
See, I'm going to say no to every white person that you mentioned now.
I already know. You got to balance it back out.
Yeah, because
just did not make yourself look very
good. I'm becoming
good there.
Very conscious of the image that you've painted for me here.
I have not painted anything.
Yeah.
This is the mirror talking to you.
Would you like to do dinner with Gilbert Arenas?
Of course.
Okay.
Because he's open about it.
Yeah, he is.
He's one of the things got Kwame fired up in the first place. Mm-hmm.
Saying that
Jordan made him cry. So he's going to tell you stories all day long.
Yeah.
Going to tell you about the gun thing.
Crittenton, yeah.
That's right.
The whole gun thing.
I don't think you want to mess with because Javaris don't just talk it. He walks.
Oh, you know an obvious answer that we're missing? Vince Carter.
Why
would you not want to do dinner with Vince
exposed.
Carter?
Everybody knows, he's like your other guys. He's on TV all the time.
Yeah, but he's Vince freaking Carter, man.
He's not going to contribute much.
He is a guy who I feel like...
I don't think he liked it here as much as y'all think he did, too.
Well, I don't know. I'm not saying he liked it, but You know, I mean, he did come here.
And what, he told us the story about Dante.
The room.
The Deontay Davis.
Deontay never went to the house.
You know what? We have a new qualifier for least likely I'd like
so
to
I
have.
So I feel like he embellishes and exaggerates a little bit.
Deontay actually just...
Be careful. Jason is going to say that you are
no,
racist.
And I'm not saying this because he's an African-American. I think Deontay's last on the list in terms of people I'd like
I don't
to
think Deontay...
With.
I think
he
Deontay
say
Davis...
a damn word at dinner.
Yeah, like he would literally sit there and not say a word.
With them hollow, sad eyes.
Yeah.
Just sad.
No, you're exactly like...
Deontay, you know, you're not really doing a good job playing for our team. What?
Yeah, I would like to see Brad.
That man will look at you like you stupid.
I would like to see Brad and Deontay Davis at dinner. Like,
the odd couple.
That would be the most
some
awkward.
Uncomfortable viewing right there,
the
bro.
The odd couple.
That's some uncomfortable viewing.
Damn,
what you're
bro.
Making us do.
What do you think? What do you think Brad would talk about?
He might kill me.
Brad would constantly be trying to get some words out of
him. He would kill me.
You know, BC's thing. Hey, what do you like to do in Memphis?
Hey, fella. Hey,
so
buddy.
You didn't go to Vince's
you
house?
Want to talk?
Right, right.
Deontay, like, man, get the hell out of here.
Who this idiot?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway.
Well, I think we got the main ones, and most of them were white.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true.
But we balance things out, don't we,
break John? It down. I said I brought Damon to the table and
Thank
Eddie
you.
Jones.
Thank you
all
for
right?
doing that.
So that needs to be said. That absolutely needs to be said. And, of course, Shane Battier as well. We mentioned him. So.
I've had dinner with one, Jarnell Stokes.
Oh, wow. How was that?
I like Jarnell.
Well, Chris Wallace was there and all that. It wasn't like really just dinner with Jarnell, but they invited my wife and I. It was the last
time. Cool.
Yeah. It'll probably never happen like that again.
Okay. Well, that's very cool.
Just because covered him coming up.
I like Jarnell.
Chris's son was there. This is back during Chris Wallace. It was at Privé. It was at Gotti's place.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Y'all ever been out there?
No.
By the way, nice place for dinner, John.
Would you do dinner with Powell?
What I want to have dinner with Powell for?
Why not? I mean, Powell is, you're talking about one of the most, he's a Hall of Famer. You know, one of the most accomplished, you know, from an entirety standpoint, European, Olympic, and NBA players of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, why not?
You know what I would talk to Powell about though is Kobe. So yeah. if I'll go Powell greater than Mark in this instance for me, although I know how highly y'all think of Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I would if I was picking between Gasol brothers. I'd pick the one that y'all said was soft before he got up out of here, went and won some titles with Kobe.
Well, that's an interesting question, clearly. We will talk to Ryan McDonough about the NBA playoffs, about Bucks Nets, the Phoenix Suns, which he helped put together, all that and more with him. That'll be at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. LaMelo Ball is your 2020-2021 Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
Staved off Anthony Edwards despite the wrist injury.
I was gonna say, yep.
I thought a very cool sort of side piece to this, and we haven't talked about it because it's not, you know, it's not local to us, but Rick Bunnell was the Charlotte Hornets longtime beat writer. And unfortunately he passed away, at an early age. I think he was in his early 60s, right? Didn't have any underlying health conditions, but he passed away unfortunately a couple of weeks ago. And the last thing he did for the Charlotte Observer was he pre-wrote the story about LaMelo Ball winning Rookie of the Year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he had already done all the reporting. He had already written all the stuff. He had already, you know, talked to people. And so he had it ready to go, you know, before his untimely passing. And they published it yesterday. So his last work, ultimately, was LaMelo Ball wins Rookie of the Year. I think it's a pretty cool sort of way to, wrap up,
yeah.
Obviously before you would have liked to, but, you know, a finishing touch, if you will, on his career as the Hornets beat writer. But LaMelo Ball was named Rookie of the Year. And what's interesting about this is not just that he was the favorite going into the season, or at least one of the favorites going into the season, and then as the season began, it quickly became apparent that with his usage and the way they're winning games, you know, they had a chance to make the playoffs ultimately via the play-in. They
mm-hmm.
didn't,
mm-hmm.
but they were certainly a little better than folks might have expected. What was interesting about LaMelo Ball is that he says he grew up watching Penny Hardaway. Now, you know, look, he's what, 18, 19 years old?
Yeah.
So what would that put him at? I mean, Penny was in the league, you know, when he was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. But
he means grew up studying him.
Exactly.
As opposed to grew up watching him.
But, I mean, who else,
but
right?
I get that and I respect it.
Like, who, I mean, you can pick, you know, maybe count on one hand the players that get that kind of, like, historical respect. I grew up watching Michael Jordan. I grew up watching Kobe. I grew up watching Penny. Like, you know, I think it's the list is very, if you're a big guard, and you hear these recruits say it all the time too, like their parents exposed them to Penny Hardaway. Like, who else in terms of a guy that's been out of the league for as long as Penny's been out of the league still commands that type of studying and respect? There are not many of those guys.
I mean, it helps you in recruiting. We've seen that. It's got to when you're Penny Hardaway. We said that point too, but it's probably much like we talked about with PJ. We said it too when Woj reported the news that some of these teams probably might want to interview him. It just makes him more attractive to NBA teams. I think he gets more attractive as you go through the years. Right, you see what he does here. Yep. as a Tigers coach, and sort of the job he came to do of getting it back to relevance. More importantly, getting it back in the NCAA tournament, because it's still amazingly, what, 7 straight years. It's still relevant at this point. But you got to have tournament appearances to keep it that way, even if you're Penny Hardaway. But to that point, it's about relationships with these players, and whether it's LaMelo or the work RJ Hampton, who looks at him in much the same way. All these young guys sort of look to Penny as that guy who did it that I can learn the most from, because, why? I want to play at the level he did.
Yep.
You know, it's one thing if you got a former role player telling you these things as a coach. It's another thing when you got one of the all-time greats telling you that. And the opportunity, like we saw, even for an RJ Hampton, just to work with him and to sort of, like we talk about Larry pouring into Penny, you know, having Penny pour into you if you're one of these guys. So
absolutely.
I think it's those relationships which are only going to get stronger, especially at the level he's recruiting, right? It's those that make him super attractive to the NBA. And maybe, again, Penny seems to think now that might be the end all when it's all said and done and he's done with the job here. I think it can really help him, and it certainly makes him attractive as a potential NBA head coach.
LaMelo Ball wins Rookie of the Year. I don't think that came as a surprise to many people.
But Edwards made a late push. So they look both of them.
Right.
And point is, league is in good hands.
Very much so.
And I think Wiseman's going to bounce back.
We will talk to Ryan McDonough about this, get his thoughts on Bucks Nets, get his thoughts on the rest of the NBA playoffs, Memphis Grizzlies, all that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 97 FM, ESPN.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We took a trip, now we on your block, and it's like a ghost town.
NBA playoffs roll on. Got game 6, Bucks Nets tonight. That series going back to Milwaukee. The elimination game. Lots to get to. We're going to bring on our man, Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls brought to you by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Ryan, what's going on, man?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. It was a wild day in the NBA yesterday, and I'm glad to be on and break it all down with you guys.
Pleasure
so
to have you.
So, what Thank you. Is the Philadelphia 76ers front office feeling today?
Boy, they're wondering what the heck happened. And they'll go back and watch the film, especially of the second half, with the Sixers blowing that 26-point lead. And, you know, the film will obviously tell you technically what happened, but then the other question, the more important question, is how did this happen? And how did we blow, for the second game in a row, a golden opportunity, guys? You guys remember game 4, they had a lead in the second half as well. They melted down in that game in Atlanta. And then last night's collapse was catastrophic, you know, blowing a lead at home in a crucial game 5 of playoffs as the higher seed. That hasn't happened too many times in NBA history, especially with that you know, that kind of lead. So they're doing a lot of soul searching today, but also, guys, trying to turn the page and move on, because they get game 6 coming up tomorrow night in Atlanta, and if they don't find a way to you know, reverse this series quickly or gain momentum back in this series, then their season could be over tomorrow night.
Do you still lean, because, I mean, you got Joel Embiid, you figure Tobias Harris has got to be better, not going to score 4, and hopefully some kind of way you find a way to get Simmons off the line. Do you still lean towards Philly in this series? Or, you know, after losing, to your point, blowing 2 big leads in a row, you think mentally they're dead. Which way would you lean if you said it right now?
Boy, this is a really tough one for me to peg. I think Philly has more talent and they have more experience, but offensively, in particular, guys, the meltdowns, you know, just the different challenges. I mean, if you look at their fourth quarter numbers, especially with their 3 stars over the last couple games, they've been horrible. Embiid, Simmons, and Harris. Simmons really is in a mental funk right now. I mean, when you look at a guy shooting, I think around 30% from the free throw line in the playoffs, that's the worst of all time. behind guys. He's actually shooting worse than guys like Shaq and Wilt Chamberlain, who were dominant big men who historically struggled at the line. So that's clearly become mental. He was 4 for 14 from the line last night. So I don't know. Like, my mind tells me the Sixers are the better team, and they should find a way to prevail, at least in Game 6 and force it to a Game 7 at home. But my gut tells me that something's off with the 76ers team, and then if it's close down the stretch, Nate McMillan and Trae Young and those guys will figure out a way to win the game. And unfortunately for Philly fans, the 76ers may figure out a way to blow the game, given what's happened over the last two contests.
Did you think Trae Young would be here this soon? I mean, your thoughts on what Trae would be when he got to the league and sort of what he's become. I'll be real honest with you, Ryan. At one point, even earlier this season, I was questioning how much he affected winning. Nate McMillan's obviously been a great thing for him, but he's just finding different ways, like a veteran does, to win games. What have you thought about Trae Young's development?
It's been really impressive. And then one of the concerns I had with him, guys, was on the defensive end.
Sure.
Would teams target him in the playoffs and kind of play him off the floor is the wrong term. That's too harsh. But really go at him and exploit him, you know, just attack time after time. And the fact that teams haven't been able to do that and that he's been so good offensively throughout his career, not just in this playoff run but in the regular season, but also that it's translated to the playoffs against two very good defensive teams, the New York Knicks in round one and now the 76ers in round two, that's been really impressive to me. And that's been a trend around the league, guys. I mean, what in your backyard, John Morant did in round one against Utah, what out here in Phoenix, three guys we brought in when I was with the Suns, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Mikal Bridges have done, and other young players around the league. You guys remember, it used to be where rookies, even older rookies, would come into the league, and the first time in the playoffs, they'd almost always take their lumps and struggle.
Yep.
That is not the case with this young generation of superstars, and that's why I think the league's in a great spot moving forward.
We're talking to Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. These calls brought to you by BetQL here on the show. Bucks Nets tonight. Look, it's win or go home. Your season's over for the Milwaukee Bucks. What do you expect tonight? Do you expect to see sort of, you know, look, the Nets sort of left it all out there in Game 5? They came all the way back, and Kevin Durant played the full game, and James Harden effectively played the full game. Do you expect that sort of to catch up to the Nets tonight? What do you sort of have in terms of your expectations for this game tonight?
Yeah, I think the Bucks are going to come out swinging, right? They're on the ropes. It's an elimination game for them. You know, we heard the rumors even last year in the Orlando bubble about Mike Budenholzer, who's done an excellent job, especially in the regular season over the course of the 3 years there. But now, with the way that game ended and really, you know, flipped in the second half with Milwaukee blowing a 22-point lead and Brooklyn winning without Kyrie Irving and with a hobbled Kevin Durant, you know, so that pressure is real, guys. As much as you can say, you know, hey, we'll block it out. We're just focused on the Brooklyn Nets. If you're with the Bucks, you hear that and you sense that. The players sense it. The coaches in front office sense it. Like, look, if we don't at least compete against Brooklyn tonight and hopefully force this thing to a Game 7, there are going to be a lot of changes around here on the court with the roster, but also maybe off the court as well. So I expect Milwaukee to come out swinging. My guess is they take an early lead. We'll see what Brooklyn has in the tank. I mean, it's rare in the playoffs, especially in a non-closeout scenario in a non-game seven, that a player would play 48 minutes. Kevin Durant did that the other night. He was obviously ungodly. But I'll be interested to see, you know, how he looks, what he has in the tank. He's so effort. He moves so fluidly, guys, and so effortlessly that I think he'll still play well. The bigger question I have is, does James Harden look better? You know, because I think they won in spite of James Harden. He was terrific. I give him a lot of credit for what he tried to do, playing 46 minutes on a bad hamstring. His approach and resolve and toughness was terrific, but his performance was substandard. He was 1 for 10 with 4 turnovers. So the scary thing for Milwaukee is, okay, Brooklyn won basically with Durant doing that by himself. Now if Harden is a little bit closer to himself, and I bring this up, guys, because looking at the injury report from the league, he is not listed. James Harden is not listed in the injury report. My gut tells me that means he's a little bit healthier, which is a scary thing for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Does Giannis lack a killer instinct, Ryan? What, it's funny to ask you this. If you're a front office that's done everything right, that you're trying to make him happy, and you've put more around him, you went out and got Drew Holiday. If I know you wouldn't say it to his face if you're the front office because it's all about Giannis, but would you be disappointed in what you saw in terms of the last minute there? He gets a good pass, he fumbles it away. And just not having that sort of killer instinct that you certainly see from KD. Where are you at on Giannis? And would you have been disappointed in the performance? It's hard to say that because he's producing, right? But still, in the big moments, he seems to fade.
Yeah, I think he needs to continue to develop and evolve in his game, guys, especially with the shooting piece of it. One thing that surprised me a little bit, and I would be disappointed in this one instance, is he said after Game 5 the other night when Brooklyn had the historic comeback and Milwaukee collapsed in the second half, he said after Game 5, I'd like to take the challenge of guarding Kevin Durant in Game 6. Mm. Well, why didn't you say that during Game 5? Yes. Kevin Durant's torching the Barclays Center for 49 points and 17 rebounds, 10 assists, one of the great performances of all time. I think the way, most great players I've been around, whether it's Kevin Garnett or Paul Pierce or Devin Booker, whoever, says, look, give me the challenge, coach. In the huddle, you're going to Mike Budenholzer saying, put me on that guy now.
Yes.
I don't care if it's part of the game plan or not. Put me on that guy now. I want the challenge. I want to stop this. We're not going to lose this way. It seems like Giannis didn't do that. He was guarding, Joe Harris or Landry Shamet or somebody in the corner as Durant torched the Milwaukee Bucks. So yeah. I'd be concerned about that, guys, in the short term, but long term, he needs to get better as a shooter. I've said it time and time again to the point where I feel like I'm being repetitive, but I strongly feel this way. It's hard for teams to win in the playoffs if their best player can't make shots off the dribble and over the top of the defense. We saw it when LeBron James was young in Cleveland. LeBron obviously improved, and by the time he got to Miami and tweaked his shot a little bit, he was unguardable. That's the next step for Giannis. He has to be able to do that. You're not able to bull your way to the basket and the free throw line in crucial playoff games down the stretch against good opponents, and I think that's been somewhat of the Achilles heel for the Milwaukee Bucks in the playoffs over the past couple of years.
So obviously, sort of to localize that, someday that is going to be a conversation that is had in Memphis. Now, John Morant had one of the best playoff debuts you'll ever see. Historically, it just was. Do you think that going to be a conversation for Ja? Do you trust that he'll be able to sort of figure that out in time? How do you think that applies to the Memphis Grizzlies?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, that has to be the next step in John Morant's development. He's obviously a spectacular player. He's got everything you'd want physically, mentally, feel for the game, flair for the game, getting teammates involved, all that. But he needs to be at least a league average shooter from the perimeter, because as you guys saw in the Utah series, that's what teams are going to allow him to do, right? They're going to take away transition and try to take away his ability to get to the basket. It's not easy to do that because he's going to be a superstar, but that's what teams are going to try to do. So, if you know that, you prepare for that. LeBron James is one who prepared for it and then, went to an all-world level by the time he figured out how to become a consistent three-point shooter. So that's the next step in the evolution, I think, for Giannis and Ja Morant. If I'm a Grizzlies fan, though, I'm not as worried about it because Ja's younger. He just finished his second year. Right. Giannis has been in the league for a while now, guys. He was in the 2013 draft. So if you're the Bucks, especially if they lose tonight and their season's over, you need to see that development from Giannis. I think Ja has a little bit of time, and I think given his character, work ethic approach, Ja Morant will get better as a perimeter shooter.
Ryan, you know this team so well. Is it Phoenix's Western Conference title to lose at this point when you look at the injuries to other teams? Utah, I will say, I mean, they've been playing phenomenally, but Donovan Mitchell's ankle is a question. How much do you like Phoenix to make the finals overall?
Yeah, I think Phoenix should be considered the title favorite, or excuse me, the favorite to get to the finals coming out of the Western Conference at this point. Both teams are banged up. The wild card, guys, what we're all waiting to see is Kawhi Leonard and his health and his status. Clippers had a huge win last night in Game 5 in Salt Lake City to take a 3-2 lead. And the Clippers actually match up pretty well with the Suns from a Clippers perspective. That was an opponent Phoenix, despite their terrific regular season, had some troubles with during the year. The Suns matched up very well with the Utah Jazz, even when the Jazz were at full strength with Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell. So I think it'll be an LA Clippers, Phoenix Suns Western Conference final. I think if Kawhi is not able to play or if he's limited, I'd lean pretty strongly in favor of the Suns. We'll see what happens with Chris Paul. But I put this on Twitter last night, guys. I think even without a best player, one of the top players in each team, if Kawhi Leonard's out for the Clippers or Mike Conley's out for Utah and Chris Paul are out for Phoenix, I think that plays to Phoenix's favor because I think they have more depth and more high-end talent. So I like the Suns to potentially come out of the West, but the wild card is if the Clippers do advance and then Kawhi Leonard is healthy for the Western Conference Finals.
We're talking to Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough here on the show. Insider Calls brought to you by BetQL. Get access to data insights the sportsbooks don't want you to have. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. We saw LeBron James
say his piece last night about the injuries, and we all know, we all see they have piled up as of late here in the NBA. But, I mean, isn't this, at the end of the day, and I understand where he's coming from, it is a bummer that we are in the playoffs and Kawhi's not playing and Anthony Davis was banged up, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, it's a money question at the end of the day, isn't it, Ryan? Because if it was such a concern, well, just it's very simple. Agree to less money for a shorter season, right? Because that would improve the product. Guys wouldn't have to worry about getting hurt as much. But nobody's going to agree to less money, are they?
No, and that's where I think it's hypocritical of LeBron James to say that or put that out there publicly. As you guys know, nobody's voice carries more weight in the NBA than LeBron James. Nobody, other than maybe Adam Silver. You know, LeBron's probably the second most influential person in the NBA, in the face of the league in a lot of ways. So for him, who, again, keep in mind, guys, he was a recent vice president of the Players Association, and one of his best friends is Chris Paul, who's the current head of the Players Association. For LeBron to say, well, they didn't listen to me, I didn't have a voice, I don't buy that. Look, I mean, the NBA and the Players Association had a number of options. None of them were good, right? One of them would have been, as you mentioned, playing fewer games and taking less money. They didn't do that. In fact, they found a way to bridge that gap nicely with getting, you know, basically the full amount of money, especially from the media contracts, but only playing 72 games instead of 82. And then, you know, trying to space out the season as best they could. It wasn't ideal for anybody. You know, we figured there would be more injuries, but what else would the league do, right? You know, if they went the other way and said, okay, let's only play 42 games instead of 72, then I think a lot of players would be complaining about that, right, that they only got half their salary or whatever. So, I think it's convenient for LeBron. I understand why he's upset, and nobody wants to see players get injured, but I don't know what the league should have reasonably done during a pandemic coming off a season that ended in mid-October last year if they wanted to preserve the business model and the long-term future of the NBA.
And then, Ryan, if you're looking at New Orleans' situation, did you see, is it a coaching issue? Is it a roster issue? Why was that team, right, which didn't have the excuses, frankly, that the Grizzlies did, who, you know, played in the majority of the season without Jaren Jackson Jr., why is that team, why did it underachieve in the way that it did, and how do you fix it?
Yeah, I think there are a number of issues, guys. I mean, obviously, the front office felt that Stan Van Gundy was not the right man for the job, and that's something that obviously doesn't reflect well if you're in the front office of New Orleans and Indiana. They're both in the same situation where they hired Stan Van Gundy and Ape Bjorkgren in the last 8 or 9 months, and you know it's rare that a coach who's hired by a current front office coaches one season on a multi-year deal and then is out. So there's certainly pressure on those two front offices between New Orleans and Indiana. So I think, you know, there's some obviously issues there, relationship issues between the coaching staff and the players in New Orleans, but also the roster guys, you know, some of the veterans they brought in, Eric Bledsoe, who they got in Jrue Holiday trade, struggled. Yep. Steven Adams, who they traded for and extended from OKC, really struggled as well. So the results did not match the talent on the roster. I guess somebody had to pay the price for that, and that was Stan Van Gundy. It's, as you guys know, it's an unfair business, but right. And there's a reason why only 6 of the 30 coaches in the NBA have been on the job since prior to 2018. Guys, that's only 3 years ago, and think about it that way. 24 of the 30 head coaching jobs have turned over. So any of your listeners, young men and women who want to be head coach in the NBA, just keep that in mind and make sure they rent, don't buy, because it's not a job that comes with a lot of stability.
And then Ryan, I'm going to ask you, because one of the things that I've sort of pounded my fist on the table for the Grizz, they're picking currently at 17, and I'm sure there will be some good players available at 17, but I really am of the mind that, and I think the playoffs prove that, you cannot ever have too much shooting. So just because you found Desmond Bane last year doesn't mean you shouldn't draft another shooter if you can in this particular draft. So my big idea has been trading up a couple spots and going to get the Gonzaga shooter, Corey Kispert. What do you make of that? Do you like Kispert as a prospect? And do you like the idea of the Grizzlies trading up to get him?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of neutral on Kispert as a prospect. He brings a shooting ability. I haven't seen a whole lot of other versatility from his game. You know, could he play a Doug McDermott role or something like that, a valuable knockdown shooter who's limited in other areas? I think he probably could. But as you mentioned, ever since Zach Kleiman and his group took over in the front office, they've done a really good job with their personnel in the draft. You know, obviously, the Morant with the second pick was relatively easy, but some of the later picks they've really nailed with Desmond Bane. Green, even Xavier Tillman, you know, some of the other ones they've had as well later in the first round have really panned out, or in the second round have panned out as well. So at 17, I think they'll be opportunistic. Most of the executives I talked to around the league think there's a pretty significant drop off. Kind of once you get past that top lottery group, there are five elite prospects, and then from, you know, about six on down, it's a gap. So I think there may be some opportunities for Memphis to move up. I don't think they'll be able to jump from 17 and into the top five to get to one of those elite young players, but you mentioned the importance of shooting, and when your best player, John Morant, is an elite athlete and a playmaker, but struggles at times, at least in his young career, with a shot, then I think that becomes more important, and I agree with the general sentiment. I think the front office will continue to target shooters around the great John Morant.
Hey, Ryan, man, great
stuff
as always.
Love your insight, man. Thank you, Ryan.
Appreciate the time as always.
It's always great to be on with you guys.
He is Ryan McDonough, Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider Cause presented by BetQL. BetQL here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I mean, he said he was neutral on him. He didn't say he was a horrible pick.
Well, it was John's heart breaking.
Yeah.
Said he could shoot. I don't see much else is what Ryan. And Ryan put this
Phoenix
team.
I don't need much else.
He put it together.
Yeah, that's true.
Aiden, Booker.
All right,
you're welcome.
We'll come back, wrap this thing up on a Thursday. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. So I really would have liked to have been able to give you my prop pick for the day, the Patty prop pick of the day for the Bucks Nets tonight, and I'm still torn. I'm torn between two Nets right now, and I may take a deeper look at the Bucks. I may take a deeper dive into sort of what they have. I really only focused on the Nets so far.
You look at Joe Harris here lately.
Yeah,
I'd like to know what you think about what he's doing for the Nets.
I'm thinking
unders on him.
I'm leaning toward over on James Harden points, rebounds, and assists because I think it's impossible for him to shoot as poorly as he did the other night.
1 of 10.
Yeah, and he still had – so the number, I believe, is 30.5, and this is a guy, of course, who averaged 44 points, rebounds, and assists in the regular season.
Well, that hamstring won't be any better.
No, but we're getting unbelievable value, an ungodly number in terms of his points, rebounds. I mean, it's just – it's like this is what Kyle Anderson – it's not quite Kyle Anderson, but you get the point. Like 30.5 is just not a lot for a player of James Harden's caliber, right? And if he played 46 minutes – he's feeling good afterwards. I have to feel like now he's got a game under his belt. He can't possibly be worse. And then I'm also leaning towards the under on Kevin Durant. I just don't think he's going to have a back-to-back performance like we saw in game five. And I mean, that, again, that coincides with a bigger role. I mean, Kevin Durant doesn't have 49 if James Harden doesn't shoot 1 of 10, right?
That part is true.
So I think
it's sound reason.
These things are related. I haven't decided yet.
You haven't made your pick yet?
I haven't made my pick yet.
I had just put $25 in my FanDuel account.
Wow.
To bet, I'll bet a couple dollars on it tonight.
Okay,
but so I want to go. I might ride with you.
Well, I mean, I don't
sure
know why you
let
would.
BC know.
Yeah, can you get me in the action here?
Yeah, for sure. 5-0. We're going for 6-0.
Get
the party going, LFG.
I think Bucks are going to win tonight. These home teams, like Ryan made that point, home team's been doing well.
I like the Bucks tonight. I think this goes to 7. Then Brooklyn wins, but I think it's going to 7. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Ryan McDonough for joining us on the show today. Thanks to PJ Carlesimo for joining us on the show today. Gina and Jeffrey up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.